Ah, the birds are out singing, looking for worms. The grass is green. But you know, greener pastures might be somewhere else. And I'm thinking of a song. Indiana wants me. Pritzker wants me to go there. Tennessee wants me. Boss Madigan wants me to go there. Oh, Wisconsin wants me. Illinois Republicans and Democrats want me to go there. If a party ever needed ending, the bipartisan combine did. No combine had the right to do what they did to us. Out there, Pritzker's tax man's coming. I'm getting so tired of running. Indiana wants me. Fat boy Pritzker's making me go there. Tennessee wants me. Boss Madigan's sending me out there. Old Wisconsin wants me. The combine wants us to go there. Pritzker's tax man's coming. Chumbalone Nation so sick and tired of running. Ah. Such a sad song. A sad song, my friend Jeff Carlin. And I just wrote it myself, kind of, sitting here outside on the deck. Indiana wants me. Maybe they want you too, and who knows? But hey! Great news, my fellow Chumbalones of Chumbalone Nation in Illinois, the land of Lincoln, the land of Senator How You Doing, the land of Will the Defendant Please Rise, that land, Illinois, with the verdant prairies. You know, there are winners in Illinois, and Governor J.B. Pritzker is a winner, because there are news stories about the amazing Governor J.B. Pritzker winning streak. And he's called a winner. And Boss Madigan, you know, Michael Madigan, House Speaker for the last, 45 years, is a winner. And Madigan's little mini-me in the Illinois State Senate, Johnny Cullerton, is a winner. Oh, yeah, he's a winner on a lot of things. Ooh. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. A winner gets what a winner wants, and who pays? Not the winners. The winners, and let's admit it, they're Democrats. You know, but I don't have trouble sharing the, you know, giving credit where credit's due. They're all Democratic machine guys, and they wanted a $40 billion budget, and they wanted an additional $45 billion in capital spending. So the road builders and, you know, those guys who say, how you doing? They like to spend that capital spending money on concrete and bricks and mortar and asphalt and stuff. And then there are other winners, too. And, you know, not all Democrats. I mean, there's some Republicans, like Senate Minority Leader Bill Brady of Bloomington, Illinois. Yeah, he's the Republican who once ran for governor, and I knew when we went out to dinner and he ordered meatloaf that he would never win, because you can't trust a man who orders meatloaf in a restaurant to be governor. Anyway, he's a Republican winner, and he's not the only one. But Brady has a side gig worth millions with the video gambling industry. And, you know, gambling's been a hot topic. Because now Illinois is going all gambling all the time. And reporters Dan Michalopoulos from WBEZ and Jason Grotto from ProPublica exposed all this, this Brady deal. He keeps saying he's going to act in the public interest. And I keep saying that when I open my mouth, I sound just like bleeping Alistair Cook in a wing chair on PBS. And the son of Senate Assistant Minority Leader and Democrat Antonio Munoz is working for video gaming and poker, video poker. That's nice, isn't it? The son of a mini boss getting a gig. And State Senator Tom Cullerton and Cook County Commissioners Deborah Sims and Peter Silvestri are named in reports as having direct or indirect financial interests in video gaming or gambling. Because video gaming is like video games, video gambling. Let's just call it what it is. And I'm thinking of all those guys and I'm thinking, man, are they pulling it in? And now, you know, I mean, I heard what Lori Lightfoot said, and so did you, Mayor Lori Lightfoot. She said what she doesn't like is corruption because it weaponizes politics and government for private financial gain. How you doing, Bill Brady? What are you doing with that weaponized government of yours? I think it applies also to state politicians and Republicans, too. But, you know, gambling isn't the only thing the Democrats want. They want to vote to put another text question on the ballot in November 2020, the graduated rate tax. And they're selling it, you know, typically as a boil of the rich task, even though one of its richest members, the governor of Illinois, the one who's behind the tax in the first place, keeps his billions offshore. Billions in offshore accounts away from the tax man that he's sending to get to us. Now, they're selling it as a rich must pay tax. But guess what, Chumbalo Nation? You boil all the rich into gravy and it's not enough. You know it. I know it. They know it. They'll have to go after the middle class. And who's that? Like they say in New Orleans, who dat? You dat? Me dat? You. That's us. You. Me. And like we say in Chicago, that's Chumbalo Nation, because we're all Chumbalones. And you know it. The rich will shield themselves like Governor Fatboy's billions of dollars in the offshore accounts. And you and me, we're going to pay and pay. At least Pritzker made pot legal so we can get high and our kids can get high. And we can all get high as businesses leave, as the wealthy run, as the rest of us just sit there like a bunch of idiotic stoners with slitty eyes, thinking about getting a brownie sundae at Denny's and humming Indiana Wants Me. Zeus is awake. Jeff Carlin is here, or he'll be right here in a minute when I get to the WGN studio. I'm in the backyard right now, as you can hear from the birds. Also, Ted Dabrowski of wirepoints.org is joining us to talk about what's really going on in Illinois, the finances. Because, you know, the numbers count, and the BS doesn't count, but the numbers do. And who are the losers, and who are the real losers? And I'm John Cass, husband, father, nationally syndicated columnist for the Chicago Tribune, a member of the Tribune editorial board. And I'm thinking, do I stay and just become a stoner with my Mike Madigan hookah? Or do I run from Pritzker's tax man and keep humming Indiana Wants Me? And you, a hookah in one hand, your tax bills in the other hand, you know where you are. Corrupt aldermen on this side, corrupt state legislators on that side, Republicans, Democrats, doesn't really matter. They're all bipartisan, and they're all going to chop you down the way the combine chops down weeds. And yeah, it chops weeds, even here on the Chicago way. On WGN Plus.
Look, the Chicago way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Watching what J.B. Pritzker and Michael Madigan, John Cullerton, and others have done, and some of the surrender Republicans have done to the budget and to Illinois taxpayers, I'm reminded of a song. It's called Indiana Wants Me, and Pritzker Wants Me to Go There. And I think I might be going there. Our next guest to talk about the $85 billion combined capital budget and budget plan of Pritzker and the tax eaters, with more taxes to come, is Ted Dabrowski, president of WirePoints, the financial research website. Ted is an expert in public policy and finance. He spent years as spokesman for the Illinois Policy Institute, and before that, well, he's received his MBA in finance from Wharton School, his bachelor's from Georgia Institute of Technology. He is a first-generation American, I would assume, of Polish descent, born in Chicago.
And Ecuadorian. My mom is from Ecuador.
Congratulations on both. You're on the intersectional highway.
I am.
Ted Dabrowski, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So Jeff and I wanted you on because you could tell us am I going to Indiana to live under the windmills and Rensselaer in a tiny house?
Yeah, how much bigger do my pockets need to be to hold the money that I'm supposed to be giving to the government?
And that's are we all supposed to be overjoyed? Like, I look at the way the news coverage is. It's like, wow, Pritzker, they got something done.
Well, you know, there's all kinds of people, John, who are going to look at this in different ways. This monumental budget, this historic budget, right after this 4 years of acrimony with Rauner. Wow, what a great feeling we're having in Illinois. And that's how, you know, if you read the Sun-Times, if you even if you listen to Republicans like Brady and Durkin, this was a monumental moment. You know, there's a lot of people who don't follow this politics at all, right? They don't follow it one bit. But they're going to know when they go to the gas station and try to get more gas, and they're going to see at least a 19-cent increase in their gas tax. If they smoke, they're going to pay more for cigarettes. If they want to go have fun in many ways, gambling or whatever, they're going to pay more. It's going to
want to park their car downtown.
Yes.
They pay a higher gas tax and more. Why should I even come to Chicago?
Yeah. And so
Rensselaer, baby.
So those people are going to figure it out really quickly. Then there's the other people who follow this stuff, and they're going to know that it's all a sham. It's been a sham every year. This one's a bigger sham because the Republicans and Democrats are holding hands as they do it. Those of us who know anything about what's happening here see all the debt that was untouched, all the debt that each Chicagoan or Illinoisan is on the hook for, untouched, property taxes, any kind of relief, untouched. It was all a bigger spending and a bigger tax thing. And then when you look at that capital budget, $45 billion, it's coming out of people's pockets.
So it's not free money? They didn't just shake the tree?
Yeah, it's going to come out of all these taxes. And you've got a whole list of taxes. You mentioned some of them right now. It's going to be tough.
And also, let's not forget to give credit where credit's due, Jeff Carlin.
Sure.
The Democrats needed 71 votes to pass, and they got 73 to pass the so-called Pritzker Fair Tax Amendment, which will be on the ballot in November. And that's guaranteed to bring out every tax eater in the state, and all the taxpayers are leaving or they disengage and don't care because they don't believe anything can happen that'll save them. And so it'll be another wave is coming.
Oh, and it's going to be a big wave.
And when you think that it's really just about soaking the rich, you're a chump alone, because it's not. It's about, once they get this established, they will come down to find you, because you could boil all the rich people into a stew and it wouldn't be enough to pay what has to be paid.
Yeah, and especially since the rich people are the target. You know, the current plan, right, which is the what we call like the introductory offer, like a cable company that kind of gets you into to join. They're going to get you with a really low thing. And then, boom, they whack you, right? And so, you know, Pritzker's initial plan has the rich people paying 60% more in taxes. And as I said, the Pritzker and the Republicans didn't solve a single thing. So why are these people going to stick around? And so, like you say, there's not enough of them. And so to meet all these spending promises, right, and what everybody wants, forget what promises Pritzker made. It's what everybody wants. They're going to demand it. It's going to bring big tax hikes to the middle class.
One of the things that really bothered me about this, and I just have to vent here.
Sure.
One of my friends is Dan Michalopoulos. Now he's at BEZ. And he and others, Jason Grotto, a former Tribster, two former Tribsters. Jason's at ProPublica. And they did a piece on video gambling, because that went through too. That sailed
through. That's right.
And it's got ties to lawmakers who are influential lawmakers, including one of them, Senate Minority Leader Bill Brady, ran for governor. He's tied up in that gambling. How you doing, Bill? How you doing? Did you have a nice lunch with Jimmy DeLeo at Rosemont? And the other one is Munoz, right? Antonio Munoz, state a Senate Assistant Minority Leader. Now, I don't understand. How do you push a tax increase through on something when you stand to benefit? How does that happen in Illinois? Why do we roll over and look at that, Jeff? This is for you, Jeff.
Well, yeah.
Every man, and look at that. People look at it and go, "Oh, thanks, dear sir. Can I have another?" We take that all the time, Jeff. Why?
I mean, what's the average person we're talking? Okay, we already put out there gas tax is essentially almost doubling, right? We're going to pay an extra 18 cents at the gallon per
19 cents
19 cents per gallon at the pump
and more that yes
what on top of what we're paying
that's right
right
we so we already have this 19 cent tax. We're going to double it, and we also have a sales tax in Illinois. We're one of seven states that has a sales tax on gasoline. So that's what's going to make I think people irate. You know, when I drive through, I was in Georgia the other day, you know, you pay so little for gas, and then you come here and you just feel like you're getting reamed.
Now, why are we paying so much on for gas?
Well, you've seen our roads, how good they are. Okay, sorry, that's sarcasm.
Right?
No, I think, you know, it's, again, for a long time, we've taken all that money, we've dumped it into the general fund, and we fund whatever goes with it. They finally passed that constitutional amendment a couple of years ago to make transportation money fund transportation.
Al Gore's lockbox.
Yeah, the lockbox.
But that's great. Thanks, Mr. Gore. But in the meantime, who's the beneficiary of tax increases to pay for roads?
Well, so now this one, it should be that money goes to the capital plan, the $45 billion. I think it'll be pretty specific. It'll go there because that's a big part of funding that. And, of course, the parking costs for parking in the city, all those things will go towards the capital plan.
The roads are the contractors are generally the Illinois Road Builders Association. That was run for years by Bill. I'm going to fly into the radar and run the Republican Party, Cellini. I don't even know what he's doing now, if he's even alive.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he's got, even if he's dead, he's got to have strings somewhere.
Sure.
And so I pay to take care of, that's what we're paying for, is to take care of people who are used to being taken care of, including the unions. I don't know why I have to drive at night. I mean, why can't they work at night? You ever wonder about that, guys? Why you're stuck in traffic during the day. Why aren't they working at night when no one's on the road?
God knows what they charge us if that was the case.
Yeah, that's right. Seriously.
Well, might be double and triple.
Why can they do that?
Well, that.
Wait a second. Why can they? Look, I've got a job to do. I'm paying you to do it, and I don't want you in my house. You can do it when I'm not there.
I'll give you a pretty good answer, John. I've looked at the collective bargaining agreements. Mm-hmm. You know, these are the ones that control the union rules. And if you look across the country and you line up all 50 states, Illinois is on the far left. Well, if you looked at it from most union friendly, so we're about 47th, 48th in the nation for most union friendly, as opposed to other states which are taxpayer friendly. So these collective bargaining laws are so restrictive that taxpayers will never get their way under the current laws. They're just way too much structured in favor of the unions and against taxpayers.
I mean, the Constitution is written essentially with you know, an asterisk on it, says unions only apply. I mean, it's everything in there is essentially builds a firewall between them and getting any sort of restitution for the taxpayer.
Yeah, so if you look at contracts, and we're going to digress for 1 second off of the roads, but this is what happens on all contracts. Teachers can strike in Illinois. None of our neighboring states allow teachers to strike. We have forced arbitration, and we saw that with AFSCME, right? If the unions don't like what the government's offering, they're able to force an arbitrator, an independent arbitrator who's not representing the public, the people, and they can come in and make decisions, and they usually and always vote in favor of the unions. So that's the kind of stuff we have where when you look at roads and things like that, we have little power as people.
I'll just seethe. I won't scream. But if you look back on the spending here that they've set us up for, $85 billion, are we getting our money's worth, Ted Dabrowski?
No, we haven't been getting our money's worth at all. And what's amazing about I would just say my bottom line is this budget doesn't matter. They can celebrate all they want, but this budget doesn't matter because it's just the same thing as the last, I don't know, 20 years. They're never balanced. They don't really care about the people. They're there to fund the status quo, the power of the unions. They're there to fund the infrastructure of the unions. I don't mean the roads, but I mean the political elite infrastructure. You know, if these budgets were balanced, how the heck did we end up with over $200 billion in pension debt? If these budgets were balanced over time, how did we end up with $73 billion in retiree health care liabilities, $7 billion in unpaid bills? You know, the list goes on and on. These budgets have never been balanced. They're all being dishonest about that. We all know it. And this is just the same thing. So I wouldn't be seething about this budget, John, because it's just the same old thing. And if you expected anything different, I don't know why you're thinking that, right? The thing about this one is that the Republicans are holding hands with the Democrats and singing Kumbaya.
A combine. Oh, yeah. I wonder who talked about that. Yeah, a combine. In other words, a machine that chops down all the weeds in front of it, weeds being taxpayers, Republicans and Democrats working together to basically stick it to taxpayers. Is that it, Jeff?
Yeah, speaking of sticking it to taxpayers, so what's next? What's the other next thing that someone's, a regular taxpayer, is going to notice that they're getting screwed? Because, I mean, everything is just words and paper right now, but once we start handing over cash, so what's next after we start paying more for gas?
Here's the other sad part. You've heard Pritzker promise he's going to protect the little guy, right? 97% of the little guy is going to either see a no increase in taxes or a reduction. And the rich guys are going to hit those 3% of the rich guys, right? If you look at all these taxes that have passed, right? You're talking about cigarettes, gambling, casino. These are regressive as hell, right? Who's going to pay all those? The little guy. And I think that's the biggest thing, is the hypocrisy. But then again, I'm not surprised by the hypocrisy. The only thing is that the little guy, who might have heard something different, might be a little ticked off when he or she goes and starts trying to live life.
Yeah, life is important to me personally. I just have to say, life is important. You know who Avery Bourne?
Mm-hmm.
She's a state rep. She's pregnant. Her impassioned plea on the floor about the changing of the rules so that basically a baby could be aborted to the point of birth.
We hear a lot of really personal and emotional stories from the other side of the aisle on why this is so important to them. Whether or not this passes, abortion remains legal in Illinois. This bill will mean that for a woman at my stage in pregnancy, where the baby responds to his dad's voice as he reads him books at night, the woman could go to the facility. The baby is perfectly healthy. But if that woman says, based on my familial health, this is medically necessary, that is allowed. We are talking about the most expansive bill we have seen in this state and across one of the most expansive across the country. This bill is not about keeping abortion legal in Illinois. This is about a massive expansion that will impact viable babies, and that is wrong. I would ask you all to please vote no.
I don't know. That it's just soul-crushing to me personally. And I think the political people take all this other stuff, and they cut up the constituencies so they could give them this and give them this and give them this. And this part, the abortion part, is like forgotten, except for those of us who are pro-life.
Yeah, this is a part of the whole equity agenda, right? That the political identity, the one that I think, from my perspective, and I've talked about this, I think, with you in the past. You know, my parents were both immigrants here. My dad from Poland, my mom from Ecuador, and individualism was the way you made it, right? You made it through hard work and work ethic and grit. And now all these agendas are, I think, hurting that individual freedom. And I think that's the biggest problem we have in Chicago. And so all these laws, right, they're all just whacking away at things that are so important to those of us who believe in life and believe in freedom.
One thing that bothers me, too, is the MAP grant. Now they're giving money to people who are here illegally to go to college. I'm not weighing in on the build the wall, not build the wall thing right now. I'm just saying that I'm here legally. My kids are here legally. I sacrificed. Betty sacrificed. When you're a dad, some of you who are younger don't know this, but when you're a dad, the dad has the holes in his shoes. You know why? Because he's not spending money to fix. The dad drives the old car. You know why? Because he knows he's got college to pay for. The dad doesn't go to Costa Rica bone fishing or fishing for tarpon in those little springs, in those lagoons. You know why? Because he's got college to pay for. So those of us who do all, and there are a lot of people who listen to this podcast, Ted, who do all that stuff, who defer their own, whatever it is, gratification, fun. And then I see others who aren't even here legally getting benefits. I don't get it. I don't understand that.
Yeah,
any comment there?
Yeah, well, you travel around the state, and you know, those of us who do, and you go to downstate, and you travel Rockford, you go to Waukegan, you see a lot of people working really hard to make ends meet, and you see a lot of those cities which are not looking very good. You talk to people in Peoria and others who they're losing people, losing companies. They're trying to just keep their cities going, and there's a lot of people there who struggle. I've looked at the average incomes over the last decade in Illinois, and most people aren't keeping up with inflation. So it begs the question, right? And you go, of course, you go to the South Side and the West Side, and you see how difficult things are there. So how the heck can they justify, right? And this is the same thing we're talking about at the national level. How do we justify keep on spending something for people who aren't here legally? It's really tough. Where's the money coming from? And I want to get back to the debt of Chicagoans in a minute.
I'm sorry I've gone off to the – you're here not to talk about social issues.
No, that's okay. That's okay, because you can't fund social issues if you're bankrupt, right? And that's the point. You know, even if you had the most bleeding heart and you wanted to help everybody, you know, if you have to look at the finances and say, hey, we can't even take care of ourselves, and we're going to have a reckoning. I don't know when, how many years it's from now, but as a city and as a state, we're going to have a reckoning where we can't pay our bills. You know, about 2 months ago, I spent time driving around the South Side, or South Suburbs, I should say, Harvey and other areas. And you should go to Zillow. I don't know if you saw a piece I did, but if you go to Zillow and you see the home sale prices in Harvey, all right, let me give you, it looks like a used car sales lot, not a home sales. 2,000, 5,000, 7,000, 12,000. These are what houses are selling for, right? People have lost the value of their homes. They're gone. And the taxes are often, you know, 10, 15, whatever percent of the home value. It's crazy. And so, John, to your point, if you care about those people in the South Suburbs who are really struggling.
I do.
Right? And if one does, and even if it's not you, if somebody does, can we afford to hand out money to other people who aren't from here when we can't take care of the very people that we aspire to take care of?
I don't know what it's called. Whatever it is, people are hurting. Property taxes are through the roof. The home values fell, as you've said. Now, those home values, and I'm not talking about one or two. I'm talking about swaths, thousands and thousands of people. If those home values drop to that point, and what happens to the assessments of others in that county?
Yeah.
What happened? Do they end up paying more?
Sure.
To pay for what?
Well, that's why the taxes keep going up, right? And so, you know, that's what's fascinating about this budget and this whole thing is that these guys have placated, again, both sides have placated a bunch of groups who want more money, but they didn't really think about the nuts and bolts of how the average Illinoisan is living. And if they had, it would be different. Let me give you two numbers. The average, when you add up all the pension debt and retiree health care debt and all these debts that Illinois has, for a Chicago household, the average amount they're on the hook for is $150,000. We talked about this before. Mm-hmm. The average Illinoisan is about $80,000. They're impossible amounts of money to pay. And I think what you're going to see is more and more people leave, not because they're saying, and most people aren't going to say, oh, my taxes went up tomorrow, I'm leaving. Some will, but most won't. They will just feel the grind of, my house value is going down, I can't afford it, people are selling around me, it's just too expensive to live here, and my government is just too corrupt. And when I look over the border at Indiana, or seeing people go to Alabama or Carolina, wherever it is, Tennessee, they just say, hey, it's more affordable. And this budget just, I think, put the nail in the coffin here.
I hate to tell everyone this, and you probably know this if you're listening, but this is not a partisan thing, but here, Democrats buy votes with middle-class money. And they buy vote. They make this program and that program and this program and that program until finally the goose is dead and there's no more golden eggs, Jeff Carlin. That's what seems to be.
Yeah, and I implore people who are listening or anybody in the state to check your home value or wherever, whatever property you live in today, and then check it at the beginning of the summer and then check it at the end of the summer. And I guarantee you, you're going to be completely just a guess at how much you're getting screwed.
You know, what we're seeing in Illinois is what we probably saw in the Great Recession, or what the bankers did, right, before the Great Recession. They kept trying to get away with all the stuff they're getting away with, right? All these subprime loans, right? It ballooned into this monster. And they tried to keep that game going as long as they could. And if you think about that game of the subprime.
I know Rahm was on the Freddie Mac board, and they still won't release the minutes of the board where things were discussed that created issues.
Yeah, the realtors were in cahoots. The rating agencies, right? They had those bonds rated AAA. Mm-hmm. Everybody was in cahoots. Everything was great, right? The economy was booming until it wasn't, right? And when we saw that thing unwind, we went from heaven to hell pretty quickly, right? And you saw the banks go bankrupt and everybody lost their values. I'd argue, you know, Illinois is in the same thing right now. These are desperate things. They're going to celebrate it as things are good, but the bond market is not going to like this over time. People are not going to like this over time. Out-migration is, you know, my guess is will increase, and all that will put pressure to where eventually the math is what takes over. Right now, the math hasn't taken over yet, but with all that debt and all the taxes and out-migration, math will take over.
So when out-migration takes over and you look at grainy photographs of refugees leaving Illinois just like they left parts of Europe in the 20s, isn't it the time to buy Illinois?
Well,
when it all drops, isn't that when capital will come in and
but
buy?
But we haven't hit the bottom yet. I mean,
there's
still room below us,
right? So, you know, we still have to restructure. Nobody wants to buy if these debts haven't been restructured. What you want to do is this. Okay, so, you know, when you look at any, I was working in the finance market overseas, and I was in Mexico in 1994. Same thing. The Mexicans were borrowing dollars out the wazoo. Everything was peachy king. They were trying to keep a game going, but they were running out of room. Eventually, the party ended. Nobody would lend them dollars. Mexico went bankrupt, and in came Bill Clinton, IMRF, $50 billion package to save it. And you know, these games end, but they can't end until they're restructured. Why would anybody invest today in Illinois? You want to wait until these pensions are restructured, the retiree health is restructured, these collective bargaining laws are made more in favor of taxpayers, then you would invest.
Indiana wants me. Lord, I can't go back there.
We're losing our kids. We're losing our neighborhoods. We're losing our houses. We're losing our children. Our families, our way of life, because of a bunch of gangsters in pinstripe suits that play this game where they take money and buy votes with it. And I'm calling out Madigan, Cullerton, but also Republicans, Brady, Edgar, Thompson, the whole combined lot of you are responsible. And you know what? We are too. Because when some of us, Jeff Carlin, would say, we're spending too much, it would be like, oh, Cass, why are you so mean? Why are you so mean? And now what? Tumbleweeds going through Illinois, Ted Dabrowski?
Well, the other way to look at it is it's my property value that's at risk, right? It's people's work that's at risk. We've seen the manufacturing jobs collapse from 900,000 at its peak to less than 600,000 now. Where do all those jobs go? And you can see that in South Suburbs again. Gone. These are people's lives. And I think we've got a system in Illinois that's so corrupt, and they're going to prop it up as long as they can. They're going to kick the can as long as they can. My only hope is that they can't keep kicking the can down the road and the financial reckoning comes sooner. And either we get the reforms we want, or the markets tell us, we're not giving you any more money. Then it'll be really ugly for Illinois, and Illinois ends.
Then what happens when the markets say, no, we're not giving you more money?
Well, then pensions get cut. You know, then you have some weird form of, you know, states can't go bankrupt, but they sure can feel like they're bankrupt when you can't get the money. Then you have to restructure. Bondholders may not get paid. Pension funds may not get funded. You look at police and fire in Chicago, 20% funded. Those things are, they have like 4 years of money left. If they can't get the money, our policemen and firemen are not going to get pensions. You know, we haven't talked at all about a recession that may come up in the near future, right? We've been going on this rally for 10 years. At some point, we're going to have a recession. We're the worst prepared state. Us in New Jersey, no surprise, are the worst prepared state for recession. What is Lori Lightfoot going to do when sales tax revenues go down, right? When income, when the money coming from the state goes down, what are we all going to do? I pray for good things to happen, but I can't help but think that we have to kind of have a serious, serious, ugly, ugly crisis before politicians are forced to do the right thing.
But Ted, I thought recreational marijuana and sports betting and more casinos and video gaming at the racetracks, that was going to save all our problems. I mean, the budget the governor put out when he came into office days after he was elected, or inaugurated rather, said that this is going to do it. We've passed these things, we'll be hunky-dory.
Well, you know, come back to those debts. If Illinois were paying what it should be paying in pensions, if they wanted to say we have a balanced budget, they should be putting $5 billion more a year into pensions, another $3 billion more a year into the retiree health care, another $2 billion. We have about a $10 billion structural deficit. If we're being honest, if guys like Durkin and Brady, who represent, in theory, the Republican reform side of things, if they were being honest, they would say, we passed a budget, it has huge holes in it. Okay, but they're not. We understand why Pritzker doesn't. He's beholden to the other groups. But if we were honest, that's what we'd be paying. If we don't want to reform things, well, then that's the trouble. If we want to reform things, we've got to cut pensions. We've got to cut retiree health care and find a way to make numbers work. But they don't work with a little bit of marijuana revenues and a little bit of gambling revenues. Those are just regressive taxes that might be taking money from another source and coming over here. We may end up with less revenues than we thought we're going to have after it's all said and done.
I'm sorry, gentlemen. I'm all for marijuana. I think it should be extremely cheap because that's what you have to do to get everybody stoned in this state, get everybody zonked out, sitting there eating the damn Twinkies and laughing hysterically at what the political class is doing to us. And then you'd even get to what happens in November. Because in November, what happens? What's on the ballot?
November 2020.
And what is that, Ted?
That's the progressive tax, right? So the legislature has passed getting a referendum, right? Do we want a progressive tax structure in Illinois or not? And that's going to go to the public. And the way Pritzker, and there's going to be, so much money thrown at that to convince Illinoisans. He's going to, you know, like you said, he's going to bribe Illinoisans to tax themselves. And he's going to promise that only the rich are going to pay. And, we've covered that at Wire Points a lot. It's a big lie. You can see that across progressive tax structures throughout the country. They come after the middle class.
So if you want to know more, go to wirepoints.com or wirepoints.org.
Either
right?
One.
And what will we find there?
Well, you'll find there, we aggregate news for people so they can see both sides. You'll see Sun-Times and Tribune on there. But we also have on the far right our commentary. And so what we try to do is make sense of the news. And we like to call ourselves fiscal realists. We're truth tellers. We're not going to sugarcoat what's happening. And you'll find, I think, a good compilation of exactly what's happening in Illinois and Chicago.
And there won't be that kind of saccharine buzz that I hear out of the mouths of Brady and Durkin.
I think you'll see some things that they won't want to see.
Ted Dabrowski, thanks for being here, and please, I hope you can come back again.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
I pulled a knife. He pulled a gun. And looked at me like I should run. I pulled my hand grenade. Sugared in his face and pull the pin, 'cause that's the Chicago way. He better walk it off.
I keep getting these letters from people, nice letters from readers. Two subjects which are dear to my heart. One is that they're helping me with a column, books that Lori Lightfoot should give to her staff. She asked about it on the Chicago Way the other day. She was here with us. She said she wanted to give, you know, books on corruption to her staff so they could come up to speed and get a sense of the historic nature of it. That's great. And so people are sending in notes on email and on Facebook and Twitter and so forth, and I really appreciate that. And then there's another kind of letter that's been coming in. No, not the John, will you quit and because I hate you. You suck letters. I get those all the time. And making a big deal of those letters is really cheap column writing. I just have to say, you troll people for a living, then you troll the letters columns? Come on, man. Give the people an honest column once in a while. But there is a letter I talked to you about. There are people writing me, asking me about Litfest. You know, the Tribune used to do Litfest, South Loop, and I was always the lead off. 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, there were hundreds and hundreds of people. I don't know, 300, 400, 500 people in a tent, and we'd sit and drink coffee and tell stories. Jeff Carlin's been there. He sat up with me once in front of the microphone. Will Lee, you know, one of my old leg men, was there. I think Liam Ford was there once, and Mark Jacob, former editor of mine, a line editor, was there. We'd tell stories and talk about the column. People would ask questions like, who starts your car in the morning? And are you ever afraid? No, I'm not ever afraid. Do you ever have trouble coming up with story ideas? No, just now. You know, things like that. And people are asking me now in letters, why aren't you in the Litfest? They had counted on seeing me. Well, it's just, I didn't want to put it in the paper because, I don't know. Kind of like, I think putting things in the paper is like the official me, the official position, and talking to you on the Chicago Way is sort of like just us talking, you know, as friends. But the Tribune used to run Litfest. The Tribune no longer runs Litfest. It's run by the South Planning Board or something. And they just didn't ask me. Or maybe I didn't get their memo. But I don't think they asked me. If they really wanted me, I think they would have got to me. I know they have some other Tribune personalities, and that's fine. But, you know, the way I get it, you know, Rahm Emanuel, who's now the... Oh, speaking about winners, come on, Rahm, working for Wall Street, after you helped the same Wall Street company when you were mayor. Oh, man, isn't that a winner? So anyway, I don't think Rahm and his people really wanted me to be part of that when they were planning it. Or the South Planning Board will say, no, we have nothing to do with the mayor of Chicago. And I'll say, yes, of course, because Lori Lightfoot's part of it now. She's the new mayor. And that's good because, you know, I like Lori. You know that. Hope she succeeds. But they didn't, whatever reason, they didn't ask me. So I'm not there to talk to you about, you know, the column. And I'm not sweating in a suit because I always wore, you know, a jacket because I always wore a jacket and tie to these things, or at least a jacket. And I kind of miss that. I do. I miss hanging out with you guys. I miss being able to talk to you. And, you know, when I smoked, after the sessions, we'd get out, sit outside the tent and have a cup of coffee and smokes, and a bunch of us would talk and keep talking for as long as you wanted. And I do that because, you know why? There wasn't any money. I didn't get paid for it. It was a day off that I really wanted, but I didn't take because I'd rather be with you. You know why? Because you pay my salary. Because too many people in my business look at readers, customers, with contempt, or at least, you know, you're the unwashed and we're too intellectual for you. And I've never felt like that. I hope I've never act like that. I mean, I know Kristen McQuarrie doesn't act like that. Most people I know in the business don't act like that. That's the air conditioner turning on. I hope I can afford it, JB. So I'm not doing the Litfest. And I guess in a way I'm kind of sad that I'm not doing it, but in another way, I get the day off. I get to barbecue. My brother Nick's coming in, and his kids, and Pete, and his kids and family, wife, and Nick's wife, and the boys, and Pete, and his son and daughters, and Georgia, and Dina, Nick, and Betty, me, Spiro, Peter, and Yaya. And we'll all be, you know, here on the deck, and I'm going to try to get some cigars out, and Betty's going to start yelling or saying, you told me you didn't smoke and you shouldn't smoke. And I'll say, well, it's a cigar, honey. I'm not inhaling. And I'm going to have a good time, but I would have missed. Tell you the truth, it was nice talking to you guys and being with you. And this is almost as good, at least for me. I wish you were here too on my deck, but I have to, you know, I can't put you all in my car because I've got to get to work. for John Kess, husband, father, syndicated columnist of the Chicago Tribune. For Jeff Carlin, Yaya just said good morning. For Jeff Carlin of WGN Radio, executive producer of The Rokan Show with Anna DeVellantis. For Ted Dabrowski of Wirepoints, breaking down the numbers and who's the loser and who's the real losers in Illinois. Thanks for joining us on another edition of The Chicago Way on WGN+.